Welcome to Listen To. This is Ted. The news was published on Saturday, September 28th. Joining us today are Eric and Kate. Let's dive right in, shall we? Today we're discussing recent health news, including obesity trends, fluoride in drinking water, and suicide rates. Let's start with obesity. What's the current situation in the U.S.?
Well, Ted, there's actually some good news on that front. For the first time in a decade, we're seeing overall obesity rates hold steady at about 40% of U.S. adults. It's a bit of a silver lining, considering we haven't seen an increase despite all the challenges we faced, especially with the pandemic.
Hold up. Are we really calling 40% of adults being obese good news? That's still an alarmingly high percentage. We shouldn't be patting ourselves.
I understand your concern, Kate, but stability is the first step towards improvement. It's worth noting that this 40% figure hasn't increased despite the challenges of the pandemic. That's something.
Let's not ignore the elephant in the room. Severe obesity is on the rise, particularly among women. Nearly 1 in 10 adults now fall into this category. That's a serious
health crisis.
You're right,
that is concerning, but it's crucial to understand the factors behind this trend before jumping to conclusions. Socioeconomic issues, stress, and access to healthy food all play a role.
Excuses won't solve the problem. We need immediate action to address this health crisis, including better education and stricter regulations on the food industry. People's lives.
Moving on to another topic, what can you tell us about the recent fluoride controversy?
Well, Ted, a federal judge has ordered the EPA to further regulate fluoride levels in drinking water. This comes after concerns were raised about potential risks to children's intellectual development. It's important to note that this is about finding the right balance, not necessarily eliminating fluoride altogether.
It's about time. We've been poisoning our children for years under the guise of dental health. This ruling is long overdue. How can we justify
it? Now, hold on a second. That's quite an exaggeration. Fluoride has been instrumental in improving dental health across the nation. The issue here is about finding the right balance, not demonizing a proven public health.
A federal report linked high fluoride levels to lower IQ in children. How is that acceptable? We're talking about our kids' intelligence here.
The key word is high levels. The study found issues at twice the currently recommended limit. This doesn't mean we should eliminate fluoride altogether. We need to be careful not to throw the baby out.
Any risk to our children's intelligence is too much. We should err on the side of caution and remove fluoride from our water supply entirely. Why are you so blasé about our kids?
Let's discuss a historical parallel to the fluoride controversy. Can you think of a similar public health debate from the past?
Certainly. This reminds me of the leaded gasoline controversy in the 20th century. For decades, tetraethyl lead was added to gasoline to improve engine performance. Initially, it was thought to be safe, but evidence mounted against it over time. It's a good example of how scientific understanding evolves and how we need to approach these issues with caution and rigorous study.
Yes, and it was a disaster. Lead exposure caused serious health problems, especially in children. It's a perfect example of why we should be cautious with fluoride. We can't afford to wait.
The parallel is important, but there are crucial differences. Unlike lead, fluoride occurs naturally in water and has proven health benefits when used appropriately. We shouldn't jump to conclusions without considering
all the... That's missing the point. Both cases involve adding substances to something we consume daily, with potential long-term health consequences. We should learn from history and take immediate action on fluoride instead of waiting for more
damage to be. But we shouldn't overreact. The leaded gasoline phase-out was gradual and based on mounting evidence. We should approach fluoride with similar caution and scientific rigor. Knee-jerk reactions can be just as harmful. Remember the panic over vaccines.
Are you comparing legitimate concerns about fluoride to anti-vax conspiracy theories? That's absurd and disrespectful to concerned parents. We're talking about a federal judge's ruling here.
Let's shift our focus to the recent data on suicide rates. How do you see the situation unfolding in the coming years?
I believe we'll see a gradual decrease in suicide rates as new resources like the 988 crisis line become more widely known and utilized. It's just one part of a broader strategy to improve mental health support. We need sustained, evidence-based approaches to tackle this complex issue.
That's overly optimistic. The data shows suicide rates rising again after the COVID pandemic. We're facing a mental health crisis that a hotline alone can't solve. We need drastic action.
You're underestimating the impact of accessible crisis intervention. The 988 line is just one part of a broader strategy to improve mental health support. Drastic action can be counterproductive. What
specific measures do you... need strict gun control. The data clearly shows firearms are the leading means of suicide. It's not oversimplification. It's addressing a clear and present danger. Reducing access to lethal means.
That's an oversimplification. Gun control is a complex issue that won't solve the underlying mental health problems. We need to address income inequality and improve access to mental health care. This will lead to a gradual reduction in suicide
rates. That's too passive. We need immediate action to provide financial support and free mental health services to at-risk populations. People are dying now. Your measured approach is really just a lack of urgency disguised.
Thank you both for this spirited discussion. It's clear that these health issues are complex and require careful consideration. While we may not have all the answers, it's crucial to continue these conversations and push for evidence-based solutions. That's all the time we have for today. Thanks for tuning in to Listen 2.